to the Corinthians is so rich, and there is so much teaching in his first letter to the Corinthians. We've learned that we are all parts of Christ's body. All parts are equally important. We've learned that Christ rising from the dead changes the history of the world and gives us eternal life. We've learned that our eternal bodies are filled with grace and love. And now Paul is teaching us about this common conception at the time that Jesus was a failed rabbi, a failed prophet, and definitely not even close to a divinity. But that is the foolishness of the cross. So Paul was being really clear about teaching this to the people in the church in Corinth. And this second Sunday of Lent is a wonderful time to revisit Paul's words and learn more and more about Jesus' death on the cross, that foolish event, that mistake in time, that indication that God has no power. You know, those kind of thoughts. So I'd like you to consider the foolishness, air quotes, of the cross moved us from the darkest dark of sin to the eternal light and connection of God's love and grace. And consider that the foolishness of the cross shows us that God's wisdom is, at the end of the day, much, much more wise than human wisdom. And consider that the foolishness of the cross shows us that God's weakness with his son being hung on the cross and buried is, in the end, stronger than human strength. And consider that the foolishness of the cross, yes, it is a stumbling block to faith in God, or it can be the foundation of our faith in God. So, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how do you move from darkness to God's light today? And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, where do you find God's wisdom today? And Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, how do you seek God's strength today? So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart so the words of my mouth may bring forth the power of your words, your love, bring forth the strength of your foolishness. Bring forth your unending grace and peace to all of the people in this beloved community and all of your children in this world. And I ask this in Jesus. Amen. So, is the cross really the foolishness or the power of God? One of the two. Is it God's foolishness or God's power? There's a spiritual community in France. I urge you to look this up, Google it. It's called Taize, T-A-I-Z-E, and they have wonderful perspectives on faith and community. And so they have a three-question way of looking at this foolishness of the cross. And so they ask these three questions. Number one, why does Paul speak so negatively about human wisdom? Well, maybe that's because in the name of human wisdom, Jesus was crucified and died. Remember all those Pharisees, human Pharisees, that called Jesus a blasphemer, that called Jesus a fraud, that condemned Jesus to death? And then the second question is, where can true wisdom be found if not in human wisdom? And it just raises the point that the cross really is this interesting contradiction. And it's such an interesting contradiction. The cross shows the power of God, But to a non-believer, all the Jews that did not believe in Jesus, it was proof that he was a blasphemer and of his weakness. And to all the Greeks that had very reasoning minds and wanted to go from point A to point B to point C, it was proof that you can't be a divinity and also be crucified. But the contradiction of the cross is exactly the point that Paul is trying to make. Exactly the point. Paul is telling us that the true light of God is found in the foolishness of the cross. And Paul is telling us that the true wisdom of God is found in the foolishness of the cross. And Paul is telling us that the true strength of God is found in the foolishness of the cross. And the last question that Taizé would like us to consider is, why is the cross, which is an epic failure, air quotes, why did not Jesus try to escape all that? And how is the cross really the language of God's wisdom and power? And the answer to that is the cross reveals the power of God's love for us. But not only that, it shows how far Jesus will go in giving his life for us. Now you know John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but has eternal life. And that is one of the most striking verses in the Bible, but the message of the cross starts with that verse. But then it goes beyond that verse. The message of the cross tells us what the end of the story is. You see, Jesus turned the act of crucifixion, an act of humiliation and degradation and torture, into a path for eternal life. Jesus knew that his death on the cross was part of God's covenant with us. And this foolishness is not foolishness when you consider that it covers all of us with God's grace till the end of time and beyond. So, is the cross foolishness or is it the power of God? Well, you know, the people that want to argue that this whole crucifixion thing was foolish, they have a lot of arguments. Here's some of their arguments. They will tell you that, well, God is a foolish God. Don't you realize that, you believers? God started the nation of Israel with a 99-year-old Abraham and an 89-year-old Sarah. Weren't there anybody in the more virile than that? Younger? I don't know. God chose a scrawny shepherd boy, David, who had no military experience. And when Saul put his armor on David, David couldn't walk. He was so scrawny. And yet, David was the one who slew the giant Goliath and saved the country of Israel. And all right, if you want more examples of how foolish your God is, God chose a cranky, stubborn, deceitful prophet named Jonah, who lied to God more than once, went in the opposite direction of his calling, and was grumbling the whole time. But Jonah, prophecy, saved the city of Nineveh and 100,000 people because he got them to convert. Okay, here's another crazy example of your foolish God. God chose a teenage girl named Mary to be the mother of his son. It's hard enough to get a good teenage girl babysitter, let alone to be the mother of God, so I'm told. And then he gave birth in a stable. Come on, this God is just silly. I mean, I can't believe that anybody would believe in this God. Then Jesus, the Son of God, goes and chooses 12 men who never understood who he was to build his church. And then Jesus, of all things, preached that the meek would inherit the earth. That doesn't sound right. And the kingdom of heaven belonged to the poor in spirit. I'm not sure that's capitalism in its best form. You know, I don't know about this stuff. And then foolish of all, most foolish of all, God pours his love and grace upon us over and over and over again, even when we sin, even when we turn away, even when we fail to do what we know is right. And yet, this foolish God continues to love us. Well, I think I'm going to stop embarrassing God. But I want to go back to the question that I asked. Is the cross foolishness, or is the cross the power of God? Well, Paul is really clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19b, he quotes the book of Job from the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 13. He catches the wise in their craftiness, and he sweeps away the plans of the cunning. And then Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19a, says this, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight." And so we have our lectionary readings today to guide us through this period of Lent. We see Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple. We see Jesus prefiguring his death on the cross. But all of these things are showing us that the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of the money changers, because they just wanted to get the best spot. And the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of the Pharisees, because they had the Son of God in front of them and they didn't even realize who he was. But the wisdom of God is shown to us in the foolishness, as St. Paul says, of the cross. Because it is there we see that Jesus gave all of himself to save us. And that never happens in any religion except this religion. For all the people that said, well, how could a divinity humble himself to be killed by mere humans? Because Jesus wanted to show us perfect love and perfect selfless service and perfect giving to us. And it doesn't matter if we are perfect or imperfect. It doesn't matter if we are in a bad mood 98% of the time. God still loves all of us. And that's what the world calls foolishness. So, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, the question for us, and we need to answer this question every week, is how are we transformed by this foolishness? How does the total giving of his total self on the cross by God, by Jesus, what does that mean in our lives? How does that influence how we treat people? How does that influence what we do to help others or to reach out to others or to just give an ear to others or a hand to others? The foolishness of the cross is pretty foolish if you think of it in worldly terms, but it's amazingly strong if you think of it in God's love. And those are the terms we think of it in. There's an author, Paul Bellen Boyer, and he says it really well, much better than I could. I want to read you his words. The true message of the cross is simple. God's love for the world will never be extinguished, not even by the failings of God's ragtag people. Isn't it great that us ragtaggers have a place in God's love and God's heart and God's grace? Wow. So, we give thanks for the foolishness that the world says of the cross, because that shows the power of God's love and reminds us again and again that God's love is unshakable, unending, and never failing. The covenant of love that God gave to us goes on, and is stronger than any human or worldly power. And so we give thanks for the foolish power of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And we also ask, and you can interpret this in your own way, dear God, let us be foolish in our lives the way Jesus was foolish in his life. Let us be fools for love and peace and patience and kindness. Let us be foolish and let us love as Jesus showed us on the cross. And we give thanks for his example that was so wonderful. Amen.